Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website. You will find all these radio programs out there in MP3 files. You will also find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on various topics and a host of other Bible-related materials that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to have you understand God's Word, understand your need for Him in your life, and how the Lord died for your sin. Today, being the first of a new month and the last month of this year, we're going to begin a very extensive study in the subject of the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Christ is a bedrock for our faith and our belief in God. In many discussions with those in other religions, the subject of God and the Godhead often lead to sharp disagreements. The deity of Jesus Christ has been under attack for centuries by skeptics and by the modernists, as they have methodically tried to remove the supernaturalism from the Christian religion. The Christ of modernism is merely a man. He was a good man, but he was still a man. He might have been a prophet, but he was just a man. The Mormons even believed that God had a body of flesh and bones and nothing else. Somehow, I never dreamed that this Bible subject would ever be controversial among the people of God. Yet many of my brethren are borrowing theories from the theologians of the past, and now they're not sure whether Jesus was God on earth. Over the past decades, this teaching has taken on many different dimensions. As often the case, to refute one false theory, we go too far the other way, and we create a new false theory. We never swing the pendulum to the center. We always go too far to the right or to the left. Now, we have many good brethren who are now advocating things concerning the humanity of Christ which simply cannot be proven or sustained by the Scriptures. So in this series of studies, it has become necessary to correctly inform the listening audience and religious people at large about the deity and the humanity of our Lord. In these lessons, we will examine what the Bible teaches concerning these two areas of our Lord. One thing we will not do in these lessons is assume to understand all the aspects of how Christ was able to keep his deity and his humanity separate. Yet, he did that, and we know that he did that. Many of these so-called theories would vanish in a night if brethren would quit trying to explain what man cannot explain, a miracle. Just take what the Bible says and stop the speculation into areas that we cannot know and for sure could never explain. How is man going to grasp things that are beyond their understanding? God created the world in 6 days. Now ask me to explain how he did it. I could take you to the account. It's not very long. You could read it in a short time. But then ask me the details of how he did it. That's above my pay grade. I can't do that. I just accept it by faith and trust that I have in the Lord and the confidence I have in the biblical record. Now, God sent his Son down from heaven. He took on the form and the fashion of man and ascended back to heaven. Will we show this? This is what we will show plainly and forcibly from the Scriptures. That's exactly what the Scriptures teach. Yet will that answer all the questions of why and how that men have? No, it never will. It never was intended to do so. What that does give us is all we need to know in order to believe in him and obey him. How important is this subject? What if Jesus were not the Son of God on earth? Then the prophets lied to us. The apostles lied to us. And the Lord himself lied to us and mankind. Once, a member of the Lord's Church asked me this: why would anyone try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ? Well, the only reason I can think of is to get around what he says and lessen his authority of the message that he preached. This would give men, they think, a way out of obeying the gospel, something that mankind has always thought to try to accomplish by denying the truth of the scriptures. Let us define our term deity. It means the nature of God. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 29, we read in this, when Paul was talking to a bunch of idolaters in Athens on Mars Hill, he made this comment in verse number 29 of the 17th chapter of Acts. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or something shaped by art and man's devising. It wasn't created by man, and it's not human. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, but we can see by the invisible attributes, we can see the nature of God, and that we are without excuse. Colossians in chapter 2 and in verse number 9, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, God is not the God of pagan concepts. He is not one God of many gods. Not with what the Jehovah Witness concept is, that he's just a one God in three manifestations. And other religions teach that also. But the Godhead consists of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each of them had a role. The Father sent the Son. The Son died on the cross. The Son sent the Holy Spirit to reveal his mind and inspire men to write the scriptures that we might know the mind of God. The Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross. God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. The Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God, not the Father. And so there are three persons, but they are perfect in unity. They are perfect in purpose, and they are unified in what their aim is, and that's the salvation of lost souls. One nature of man, one nature of God. In the Gospel of John, in the first three verses of his Gospel, in John chapter 1, I want to read to you the first three verses of the Gospel of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, tells us that he is the final spokesman for God. He speaks for God, and we should listen if we want to know what God would have us to do. And so, he was fully God, he was fully man, he was fully divine, and he was fully human. Our faith hinges on this vital fact of truth. If it is doubted, all else in the scripture and all other aspects of our faith are in doubt. It is the pivotal message of the Bible. The Christian world would be placed in a stupor of uncertainty. Morality and ethics, pardon, acceptable worship, the church, heaven, hell, all become questionable. Did man really come by evolution? The world is left in spiritual chaos. If this fundamental truth can be shown to be incorrect and inaccurate, can it be preached and defended today? It was preached and defended in the first century. Can it be preached and defended in the second century and in the 21st century as it was then? Is the evidence invalid? Is it insufficient? Are there the reasons for denial that have nothing to do with the evidence? We will examine. In this study, we're going to use five pillars in order to build our case on the truthfulness of the deity of Jesus Christ. Number one, we're going to look at fulfilled prophecies. We're going to look at the prophecies that were given by the prophets concerning the coming of the Lord. Next, we're going to look at his claims. While he was on earth, he made many claims. We are going to examine those claims and see if he was able to validate them. And then, Third, we're going to look at the Gospel of John's testimony. His book was written in order to prove that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Son of God, and believing those things, we might have life in his name, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Next, we're going to look forth at his miracles, at the miracles that he did while he was on earth that showed his great power and his ability over nature and over all aspects of it. And last, we're going to look at the greatest evidence of all, and that is his resurrection. His resurrection from the dead that proved once and for all that he was who he claimed to be, and that is the Son of God, and it was done so with power according to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. Will man make objections to all this testimony of all this evidence? Of course he will. He will deny the prophecies were fulfilled. He will attack Jesus as a liar and a fraud. He will attack the New Testament documents and the New Testament witnesses as being unreliable. His miracles he'll deny. He'll attack him as a charlatan, as a cheat, and as a deceiver. His resurrection as being a hoax and planned fraud from the very beginning. Yet the real reason is their love and desire to commit sin. Their hearts have been hardened, and they will not see, and they will not accept the truth, no matter how much you present it, and no matter how plain you make it. Let me give you a passage of Scripture that explains the problem that they have. In Acts chapter 28, verse number 26, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear, you shall not understand. Seeing you will see, you will not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, that I should heal them." So you see, the problem is, they don't want to know. They don't want to accept the truth, because they feel comfortable in their life. They feel comfortable in their sin. If evidence can prove to be sufficient, we truly have good news. All the facts, all the commands, all the promises, therefore, become true, they become accurate, and they become something that man needs to obey and that man needs to put to work in his life. Drawn to him by our obedience to his word, we should preach it, we should proclaim it, we should defend it, and we should have no reservation and no doubt of the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. As we close this introduction this morning, I want to remind you of some very vital things. He was fully God. That means 100% God. The word God itself means eternal. If you're God, you cannot stop being God. He was fully man. We're going to see that he experienced everything that men can experience, and yet he did it without sin. That's going to be very important in looking at our evidence. And so what I would ask you to do for the next few months is to have an open mind, to have an open mind and an open Bible. Let's examine the evidence together. Let's look at it. Let's weigh it. And let's reach a conclusion that the Bible clearly teaches that our Lord was both the Son of God and the Son of Man, both deity 100% and both man 100%. And he is our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you for listening this morning. Please tune in again next Lord's Day when we'll look at the first point in